Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Propelling Talent, Wykert Workforce Mobility's podcast for HR managers and corporate relocation professionals and basically anyone who has 15 minutes to listen. We don't discriminate. We accept all listeners. Today, we're presenting the first in a series of podcasts focused on COVID-19 and the coronavirus, literally impacting the entire world and certainly impacting our listeners in two ways. First, as mobility professionals, the people who move their company's most critical talent, there's probably never been an event that has caused more uncertainty or challenges as to what to do, how to keep people safe, et cetera. There's really a lot to unpack. It also impacts us as human beings, as employees, as parents, as children, as aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors. For lack of a better term, it's a scary time and has a lot of us doing things we've never done before, working from home for extended periods, sheltering in place. Some parts of the world are on lockdown. people are hoarding toilet paper, for God's sake. It's a curious and challenging time, and we wanted to provide a valuable stream of info for mobility professionals. To that end, I'm joined today by Ellie Sullivan. She's the Senior Vice President of Wykert's Advisory Services Group. Very well credentialed. You can look her up on LinkedIn. We won't weigh down the content here with that. But she does spend the majority of her days helping companies around the world manage their mobile workforce more efficiently and cost effectively. Ellie, thank you very much for your time today.
Hi there. How are you? You're surviving?
I am. I'm sheltering in place, and I'm doing the best I can, like most of us. Just to jump right into it, and I mentioned that it is a very challenging, a scary time, if you will. As someone who's been advising companies on talent mobility for decades, is this more impactful than anything you've seen in your career?
It really is. It really is unprecedented. And despite my, hate to admit, 35 years of being in this business, I have never experienced anything similar to this. And most of the senior leadership team and the leaders that I respect so much in this business are all of the same opinion that it really is unprecedented. You know, we've had situations like SARS and natural disasters, too many to even recount here, but they pale in comparison to the scope of this one. And we can take a playbook from some of those previous disasters and scenarios that we've had to deal with, but this one is really unprecedented. I've kind of compared it in my discussions with folks as equivalent to the ice age. You know, it's a glacier that is reshaping not only the way we live, but businesses. It's creating new valleys, businesses that are finding they're instantly obsolete, and creating new mountains of opportunity and businesses that are really rising to the occasion. So it's just really reshaping everything that we do and the landscape that we find ourselves living in. Can't sugarcoat that one.
No, I was going to say, you know, once we invoke the ice age, we're onto something big. Well, last week, to your point, talking about people sheltering in place and people not meeting and people trying to keep that distance between them, that social distancing, we conducted a global benchmarking event, virtual event, I should add, across four regions: North America, the U.S. and Canada, Latin America, Asia Pacific, and the EMEA region. And one of the questions that we asked was how companies' mobility programs were being impacted by coronavirus. I know that was a week ago, and things change by the millisecond here, but looking at all those four regions and gathering all that input, what was the overall move? What did people say?
Well, first of all, I got to credit you with the inspiration for those sessions, because I think it was a planning session that we had early in January where you suggested, let's bring together the idea of a webinar and research. And boy, was that great foresight into what we would need.
I had no insider information there either. That was just pure speculation.
You know, we did survey, I think we ended up with just over maybe 125 valid corporate responses to our benchmarking. And at that time, a week ago, 41% were postponing new initiations or just hitting the pause button. They were just didn't know quite what the next shoe was to fall. Only 11% had at that point repatriated employees. So even a week ago, we were really focused on the impact from APAC. And then as the pandemic started to spread into Europe and the hot zones of Italy and now France and others, it was okay. We don't really want to repatriate all our employees from every global region. And then very quickly, you see that the pandemic has, there's really no safe harbor for somebody to be departing a location and going into another location. There's travel restrictions between borders. U.S. closed the border between U.S. and Canada, between Mexico and the U.S., throughout Europe, there's lockdowns, Italy, France, Belgium, etc. So I anticipate that that 11% is going to stay relatively the same, you know, might increase to 15 or 18%. But at this point, I think a lot of entry bans are going to prevent people from being repatriated. So if they haven't repatriated yet, I don't know that they're really going to be able to. I think we've also seen over that week's period of time an increase in the number of companies that are postponing new assignments and new moves. We still have clients that are really in kind of critical capacities. You think of all our pharma clients, you think of even clients like Stop and Shop, you know, Walgreens, they need their people in the right locations to be able to manage the pandemic and to support the communities that they're in. So we still see critical moves occurring with a lot of exceptions.
And speaking of managing programs, for someone who does manage their company's mobility program, you hear things about pandemics, closed borders, sheltering in place. You can only imagine that the logistical nightmares involved. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the advice that you've been doling out to our clients who obviously are dealing with these challenges that seem to change day by day?
Well, you're right. They are changing day by day. So the advice that we're providing to clients, when we first started dealing with the coronavirus, I mean, you can just go back and look at some of our blog posts. You know, it was, hey, it's time to dust off your emergency planning documents. It's time to take stock of where your employees are, validate there are people that have underlying health issues. You want to make sure that you're aware of where they are, you know. That was kind of 60 days ago, 90 days ago when we were making advice like that. Now it's far more pragmatic and related to how do you manage moves that are in process and what are the options. Let's think about what some of the downstream implications are. You know, if you extend temporary living, can they stay there? Will they be able to return to their family who might be in the old location? And we could be talking about people that are relocated from Chicago to California. I don't know that they're going to be able to get into California to revisit their family. So
right.
Today's advice is much more about assess the demographics of the entire move, the status of the entire move, and evaluate what your options are. We just got through authoring 4 pages of recommendations to clients that are basically looking at the various stages of a move. Have we just been initiated and can we pause the relocation? Have we started the review of their household goods? Are we doing the survey? Have we started them in the home sale program? Things of that nature. Where can we pause the relocation that it makes sense? If they're already at the stage where their household goods have been picked up and are in transit and they need to vacate their home, we have to be able to assess those characteristics of the move and make recommendations based on that specific scenario. So 4 pages of recommendations based on the stage of each type of move. And I guess the thing that we have been emphasizing most to organizations is, you know, we've always tried to consult with clients about being really pragmatic on exceptions and towing the line and making sure that, you know, you're not setting a dangerous precedent. What's really heartening to me is to watch the clients that we've been working with basically put people first and worry about the other ramifications later. And the advice we're giving people is if it feels wrong to say no, you know, like, no, you can't do that, then let's try to find a way we can say yes, that we can help them in this scenario.
That's perfect. And it's the kind of stuff that pays dividends in the end, you know, how we act in dire circumstances under stress. People remember those things, and it's always good to see that companies think that way. The people-first mentality is always good. We talked earlier when we were at the intro about how this really impacts us as professionals. It impacts mobility professionals, as people who manage their company's programs, have a responsibility there. But at the same time, it affects you as a person. And we all have our own livelihoods, our lives outside of the office, which are also being impacted by this. On a personal or professional side, whichever way you feel you want to answer, I guess my last question would be, in unsettling times like this, where do you draw inspiration? What keeps you from freaking out and locking yourself in the bunker, and which I keep talk myself out of at least a few times a day, and what is it that keeps you inspired in times like these?
I don't know if there really is such a thing as personal and professional. After 35 years in this business, they blend together pretty seamlessly. Right. And, you know, we've had the privilege of working together for a long, long time, and spent many a weekend sharing emails back and forth and working on projects, et cetera. So I think from the professional point of view, the thing that is so inspiring is to see the way that several of our clients are really stepping up and responding in this scenario. I think of companies like Moderna and Regeneron that are at the forefront of trying to test and bring new vaccines, clients like Gilead and others that are exploring innovative solutions to try and manage this situation. Then I think of clients even like Ahold, who is the parent company of Stop and Shop locally in the Boston area. They're a big chain here. They've dedicated special hours to seniors that can go shopping to reduce their risk. You've got clients like Walgreens that are stepping up and partnering with the government on the drive-by testing centers and things of that nature. And it just really is awesome to see that level of community support and business supporting the community. And then personally, my worry for my own family, all my kids are dispersed. No grandchildren yet. So my worries are a little different for my, nieces and nephews and all the rest of our extended family, and for the people we work with and their kids, your own kids. It's just wonderful to see the colleagues really rallying behind each other and supporting one another. The discretionary effort that they're bringing to the table every day, just so inspiring. And I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge something that really touched me this week, the story of one of the folks that we work with, Sarah and her daughter, who's now all the school children are home and her kids are very young. Just the stories about how do you help them better understand what's going on and manage and juggle being a working mom, now having kids home. And really heartening story on our blog about the tea party that she held with her daughter. But more importantly, what's grown out of that is not only advice for other parents that might be struggling with those challenges, but a kind of maybe a rally around a coloring contest for the kids. At first, we thought it might just be within the Weikert community and Weikert colleagues, but I have a feeling it could go virus status of its own, and you're going to see, a lot of people on LinkedIn and elsewhere participating in it. And it just really makes you feel good and helps you stay focused and grounded. And
very therapeutic.
Yeah, very, very therapeutic. And I have to say, I think I was sharing a note with you a week ago, hearing the senior leaders at Weikert, managing so much with this emergency, activating our contingency plans and emergency planning, et cetera, and then just taking time out to thank each other for supporting such an intense situation, and again reinforcing, I guess, why I've spent 35 years at this organization, is that we put people first and. I just couldn't be more proud of the leaders that I get to serve with and the people that are supporting me day to day. So there's my inspiration.
we believe in each other. That's what we say all the time. One of our corporate beliefs here, and certainly a big part of our culture. So it's always nice to see it. Unfortunate circumstances, but always nice to see it in action. Well, thank you very much for your insight, Ellie. And we do plan to do these as a series. As I mentioned at the beginning, the news around coronavirus, the way it's impacting mobile talent, it's ever changing by the millisecond. And we plan to do these at least weekly so we can keep people informed and give you something to listen to. Hey, there's only so many shows you can watch on Netflix. After all, you might want to, you know, give your eyes a rest and listen to something. So we're just giving you some more content you can absorb while you're in quarantine. As Ellie mentioned, our blog is also a great resource of information on coronavirus. If you go to our blog and click the latest update, it will take you to, you can see all of our updates there since we've begun reporting on it and how it's impacting mobility. So you can get everything you need right there. Also on our website, you'll find our duty of care white paper, which has some great information, which is certainly applicable under the current circumstances. And as I mentioned, some very specific coronavirus related news. So we hope you can leverage those resources to stay up to date. If you have any questions, reach out to us, solutions@weichertwm.com. That's weichertwm.com. And as I mentioned, we'll have another episode for you next week. In the meantime, Ellie, I'd like to thank you very much for your time and for sharing your expertise. Stay safe. Stay safe in the bunker.
Thank you. You too. Yep. Don't, you know, resort to the bunker yet. Make sure you're getting some fresh air and good sleep and good exercise.
Absolutely.
Balanced.
Absolutely. I have that Irish pallor, so regardless of any national emergency, I'm in the bunker anyways most days this summer. I'm just staying out of the sun. But the rest of us, that's normal operating procedure for me. But for everyone else, yes, to Ellie's point, do get some fresh air. And remember, we're all human. We need a little stress release from time to time. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.